You can do anything you put your mind to. Whether that is leaving a shitty relationship, whether that's finally starting the business that you've been thinking about, whether it is finally setting up a TikTok account or starting your podcast. It's fucking Halloween. Happy Halloween, and start living your fucking life.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
We are live. Zubin, and you are wearing a tremendous soccer, proper football jersey. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Coffee and Commerce. I'm Gary Vaynerchuk with my partner in crime here, Zubin Malabi. He is dressed up for Halloween. I'm impressed. We're sorry we're a little late. It's on me. I have a client emergency, which I was just in. I'm going to jam here for a couple seconds. I know we have a bunch of guests. I'll try to stay for one or two, but I'm going back into that meeting. So I'm going to let my handsome partner here take the lead. Zubin, how's Vayner Commerce's week been?
Vayner Commerce's week has been incredible. It's just lots Stephanie of momentum Lamp. Brewing. And really excited about the clients we're working with, prospects we have on the horizon, team we're building, all good stuff.
Love it. By the way, so somebody in the comments just say I'm dressed as Gary Vee. I've already gotten 10 different DMs of people that are dressing up as me for Halloween tomorrow, which I think is, I told my mom I've made it. All right, let's get right into, I know we have a bunch of guests lined up. Let's just get right into it.
You're right, Gary. Hi, Zubin.
How are you, my friend?
How are you?
I'm all right, thank you. So the first question is TikTok and Shopify partnership. What are your thoughts on that question?
Zubin?
Yeah, so look, Gary's been talking about TikTok for a long time, about attention, consumer attention, where people are, and naturally where people are is where advertisers are going to go. And so TikTok's advertising model is somewhat nascent right now. They're just starting out. But at the same time, you see social media increasing, social media usage increasing, e-com increasing. So it's a natural fit, right? It's the same way that Facebook is integrating with Shopify, Instagram, so on and so forth. So they want to integrate e-commerce. And I think it's just the beginning. Right now, it's going to basically allow folks that are on Shopify to be able to produce content for TikTok. Eventually, it's going to allow for native transactions within TikTok, probably. But it's just natural, right? All you see, the writing on the wall is very clear. And it's been for the last 5 years, frictionless commerce. So allow people to buy where they are, where they see product. And so I think it's a natural fit and it'll continue.
Yeah, you know, Jordan, I think from my standpoint, it's two very progressive, fast companies doing fast shit with each other. And it's just a good idea for both companies. I think in a lot of ways, Amazon's the biggest e-commerce company in the world. But if you think about it, Amazon, in a lot of ways, has Microsoft DNA, where it's a closed system. It's Amazon. What Shopify's taking an approach of is an open web, kind of like an open source environment, almost, right? You can just see it, right? You can see the Microsoft versus Apple or the Microsoft versus Google, like the closed versus the open, the publisher versus the, you know, WordPress. Like Shopify's clearly taken on that scaled approach, and deals like this lead to the inevitable headline that will happen, which is Shopify is the biggest e-commerce company in America, because no matter how big Amazon is, if Shopify is the close second and has everybody else's business, that will surpass. If you're just like, you know, fast dimes beat slow quarters, you know? And so I think it's a very strategic announcement. And don't forget, in big boy land and big girl land, an announcement like this sometimes is strategic for Shopify and TikTok, because it may lead to other big tech companies reaching out to them and saying, hey, saw you did this. Hey, we're Spotify, TikTok. Why don't we do this podcast deal together? Hey, Shopify, we're Twitter. We want to do what you did with TikTok. So there's a lot of macro strategy in announcements like this. Make sense?
Yeah, completely.
I think just to add one thing to Gary, what Gary mentioned right now that I think is huge, is the fact that if you look at the other announcements that happened with Facebook and Instagram and Shopify, those were to Shopify's benefit. It almost like increased Shopify's level of credibility. But what this is doing is this is allowing Shopify folks to access TikTok. And by virtue, TikTok is getting a lot of clout in the business world for partnering with Shopify. So it's about credibility. Yeah.
Very interesting. Thank you.
Awesome, welcome, man. Mate. Great to have you on.
Talk to you soon, mate. Sorry, I'm actually actively posting my next Instagram post as we speak. I expect all of you to like it as soon as you can.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, everyone. Hi, Gary.
Hey, Esther, please be careful while you're driving. The ship freaks me the fuck out, Esther.
No, don't. I'm really good. I could go 60 miles in reverse.
Yeah, I don't want to see your eyes. I like what you're doing. Keep focused on the road. Don't even look at us.
I'm not.
Fire away.
Okay, fine. So my question is, coming from an industry that's traditionally not e-commerce, high-end audio, it's something that you have to come and listen to, just like buying, I guess, like a Rolls Royce, right? Most people are not buying it without driving it. What are some tips you guys could give to myself and I guess people in the industry for this COVID time where, you know, people are less reluctant to come to an event or go to a dealer distributor to listen?
I know a lot about Esther's business, like super high-end audio equipment, like completely crushes when people come in. What's your perspective on that high touch experiential brands figuring out the e-commerce ecosystem?
You know, I think a lot of it is analogous sales. So not necessarily, like there's only so much you can do, right? You can basically play music through someone's speakers when they're on your site. But the reality is it's dependent on their speakers. So one of the things you can do is basically show what it sounds like if they don't have it by lowering the bit rate and whatnot. Or what a lot of brands do, and I think what's interesting, if you listen to it on radio, for example, when they talk about color, they use audio. Or for example, in this case, when you're talking about audio, to show visuals. So something analogous that can explain to that consumer, because the reality is, unless you feel it, unless you hear it, you've got to drive that emotion in another manner.
Okay.
Yeah, so you can't fight reality. And if your equipment is in a situation where it is so much better experienced, one of the things to think about with e-com is, for example, one thing I think that's interesting is the idea of converting all your traffic on your website to live streams, like appointment, not transactional. The whole experience is, this is so unbelievable in real life that the closest we can do to this is schedule your 15-minute appointment to do a Zoom or a Google Hangout or a StreamYard, because we feel like you'll get a better sense in this environment. So it's changing the game and innovating.
Okay.
Yeah, Gary's point, those are great tips. Final thought, Esther, like to Gary's point, what are the biggest missed opportunities that's happening right now in terms of omni-channel and retail and digital is enhancing the digital experience to leverage your retail staff. So allowing people to be able to basically schedule a 15-minute chat, video chat or audio, whatever it is, with someone in store who can actually guide them.
Okay, so you're saying like engage them, because I hear what both of you are saying. Yeah. I just feel like, you know, with something like this, it's like it's like experiential. It's something you cannot really translate into a Zoom, because really, especially the audio files, and I'm trying to go into the lifestyle market.
Stick with me here on this. If it's not transferable on the internet, then the answer is you can't do anything.
Right.
Which is a fucking shit answer always. Right? So to me, I apologize, Zubin. I'm in the zone here, brother, and I'm about to leave anyway. But Esther, to me, if you tell some, like to me, if I'm buying high-end sound equipment and I'm too scared to go to Livingston or Bergen or whatever, to the store, I still think I appreciate the white glove nature of you trying to show it to me,
exactly.
Right? And so you're not selling me on the sound, because call a spade, Esther. Most fuckers don't understand the sound anyway. You know it, and I know it. It's no different than wine. What they appreciate is your effort to give a fuck.
Right.
Do you understand?
Yeah.
The amount of people that have the ear to understand the fucking slight variable ear difference of the shit, like most people don't have it. It's the same as palate. The reason I built one of the biggest wine companies in the world was all the nerd shit that everybody focused on with wine. I realized that nobody could taste it anyway. So I needed to talk to people more realistic. The reality is, I don't give a fuck if every person in the chat right now came to your store and heard it and you were like, see the difference? They're all gonna say yes, but they don't know what the fuck they're talking about.
I hear. It's true.
It's true. I know, which is why I think the white glove effort makes me say, wow, this lady gives a shit about me. Look at the conversation. I asked her a question. I showed her, well, do you think with that TV? She's like, nah. And now all of a sudden you brought fucking value and you're winning on the bread. You see where I'm going?
I love it. Right. Yeah, so, I love it. I don't want anyone else in high-end audio to hear this.
Esther, you can't be greedy with my free content, Esther. And number two, I know you're joking.
I'm gonna share it.
But number two, Esther, here's the key. Number two, Esther, is that what I love about life is the first time I delivered you the idea, you're like, yeah, but they're not gonna hear it, right? Notice how when it's life, perspective. You can look at everything negative, you can look at everything positive. Right. By me reframing the perspective of the actual thing that's going on in that environment with a consumer, now you go to, I love it, and I love you for seeing it. That's fucking business right there. That's communication. Right.
Vantage point. Thank you guys so much. Have a great weekend. Shabbat.
Dustin, can you come in here? Bye, you too. Dust, get in here.
Yep.
I need that clip chopped. That's a huge LinkedIn. That's a huge Instagram. Like that moment right there, I'm trying to read the comments right now. That was a fucking big deal. Zubin, did you see that?
Oh, absolutely.
People
That's what I was telling you earlier. It's about the framing. It's the framing and your ability to get them from wherever their mindset is into your frame, and then they'll get it.
Yeah, Zubin's talking about a big meeting we just had, and I understand the context. Yeah, I mean,
this is hit her like 3-4 different ways. It resonated at some point, and you leaned in on that, and you went in. It's brilliant.
Thank you,
brother. What you do, G.
Thank you, sir. All right, let's keep it moving.
Let's do it.
Gary Zubin, how are you?
Good.
Thanks for giving me your time.
Absolutely.
So basically, I'm the managing director, co-founder of Greystone Premium Organic Teas. We're a family-run business for the last 4 years. We've been super lucky. We've basically last year did about 600K. We're on target to go probably close to 1 million this year. That's the gravy. The bad part, we have a barely functional website, almost no social media to speak of. So when the pandemic hit,
you've come to the right place.
Bro, I've been following you for at least 2 years. 4Ds has kept me alive.
But Chip, you were following, but you didn't execute enough on the core thing because you had other ways to sell. And when disruption came, it becomes a pickle, right?
100%. It was always that we were behind, always trying to get to the, like, we got lucky. We got on shelves. We were selling. But we missed tons of opportunity along the way, mainly because we are a small family-run business. Me, my dad, my brother.
I totally get it. But the problem is, just like I was yelling at my best friend, and not yelling, just everybody knows it's my slang term. Just as like I was on Zoom earlier with Brandon today, Brandon Warnicki, my best friend since 14. I worked with him for 20 years, runs Wine Library. When I hear you talk, I'm like, literally, this guy's been like drilled into his head 25 years. 30 years of me, 20 years of me as a business partner. And I said to him, if you do not fix the well, you will always lose. And when you keep focusing on sinks, you're gonna lose. 2 years ago, when this became obvious to you, I'm like, social.com, you're selling a product. You gentlemen, I understand why, focused on the things in front of you to make 600,000, but boom, unfortunately, shitty, because it's extreme, because it would have happened anyway, but COVID sped up the process of the inevitable. 100%. And so most, like I would have wished that you did 412 last year, but had your fucking fundamentals right. But that's what every fucking business, Shiv, every fucking business does this. They focus on it's one thing if you don't know. It's one thing if you don't even know. It's another thing when you know you need to do the right thing, but you're still so fucking pumped about the thing in front of you, 600, fuck 600, 412 to do 1.3. You know what I mean?
Agreed, 100%. I mean, to be honest with you, had we from day one marketed to our clients properly, had inserts, followed them up, targeted them, retargeted them, got those repeat sales from them, we would already be over a million. The good news for you is that
it's not gonna slow down, right? What's happened is there's been disruption in the market that's gotten you to go, oh fuck, now I need to do something about it. But the good news is it's not gonna slow down.
Zubin, don't curse, because Zachary Greenville Johnson, who I love because I see him in my community all the time, said, Gary V, you're awesome, but you need to work on your potty mouth. Less cursing will greatly broaden your audience. So Zubin, I just wanna make sure that, you know, I want you to be able to broaden your audience. So I just need to stop you there, please.
Well, my audience is very small, so we need to broaden, so yes. But the reality is you've got time, right? Not to say you shouldn't do it. Get those fundamentals right. But go ahead. You were going to ask a question.
Well, hey, Dustin, I apologize, Chip. Hey, Dustin, it's Oluwa spamming the crap out of Facebook. Can we ban that person in perpetuity?
I got you.
Thank you.
Yeah, the question really was this, is that we're building out the website, but as I'm doing that, I'm listening to Gary speak on voice, text, you know, Zubin bringing up Shopify Plus. You know, there's so many avenues. Like, to me, the website's nice, but I think text is where it's going next, and probably voice after that. And
but Chip, you don't but don't worry about drones. You don't even have a website.
Right.
That's like worrying about sex before you kiss someone.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Thank you.
In the next,
I like that one, Dustin. Dustin, that's also a good one. I think that's a milli on fucking the gram.
Okay.
I got you.
Absolutely. Chop it up, baby. I love it.
Listen, just real quick, tactically speaking, right? Some of these things that we talk about, text, voice, AR, VR, all this stuff, you require a certain level of scale before you can actually leverage it, right? How are you going to text people and leverage it when you have 5 people on your text list? Or leverage email if you've got 100 people on your email list? The key is start with that foundation, build your
building. Hold on, real quick. Hold on. This is so funny to me. Elise, I'm sorry, I'm reading the comments. Elise Peterson says, no tea business is doing $1 million a year online. I know of four off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guarantee you that if we had executed properly, we would be doing $1 million online.
I'm gonna show some right now while you're talking. Go ahead, Zubin.
Yeah, so anyway, what I'm just getting at is like, get your foundation ready and then look at all these other avenues. I think the problem is, though, you're concerned right now because you didn't jump on the
Upton T, Agio, the T spot, T2T, all doing well over that, just on the record. Adagio,
the crazy thing is,
am I right,
we've
though?
Got
brother, oh, am I right, though? Am
we're
I
just doing it?
I know, absolutely. But am I right? I know.
100%. There's five more after that.
Of course.
Shiv, the problem is you feel like you missed the boat on your site. So now you don't want to miss the boat on text and audio and VR and all this stuff. You haven't missed the boat. Just get your foundation ready. And when the time is right, and when I'm talking about the time is right, it's not the macro time. It's the time is right for your business. Then you implement text and you do voice and you do all this other stuff. Get your site.
Agreed. Going. Gary, question for you. What would you do to build an organic brands community? What would be the first 3 steps?
I would do tea library TV. What I did for wine, I would do on tea. I would have a daily show about tea, tasting it, breaking it down, having guests come on. I would search the entire internet, all of social, to figure out who the tea lovers are that are influencers, invite them on virtually, send them a happy package that you have behind you to them so you both can do tea together. Then you do the tea together. Then you chop up the pieces of content. Then you make them Instagram ads. I mean, there's a lot of things I would do. It's why I build big businesses like content and modern social media marketing at scale.
Agreed. Would you also look at Facebook communities for that type of thing?
I think that's a nice to have. I think I would start with doing a tea tasting show every single day, building up my personal brand, getting influencers involved, filming like this. Note it, I'm giving you advice I live. I just told Dustin to clip 2 things from this. You're gonna be in one of them. You're gonna be talking a bunch in the video and then I'm gonna say kiss sex. You know, like that's what, like, you know, so like I live, every piece of advice I give, I live. That's why I love being who I am in the world. It's free and I live it. Most people charge for things they never lived. Literally the people that try to look like me on the internet charge for eBooks and programs when they've never actually built a business outside of charging people for eBooks and programs. I give it away for free and live it. I'm giving you advice that I lived.
100%. I truly appreciate it. As I do all your, I mean, to be honest, like,
but you have to start 4Ds. Doing stuff, but I need you to do it. I need you to do it. Done. I appreciate the 4Ds it's thing, done. But I need you to do a tea show every day. Spend 57,000 hours finding influencers that like tea and send them packages, invite them on the show, drink tea with them, talk about tea with them, make some jokes, make some, talk about the world events, then put that on YouTube. That will get 400 views, but then you're gonna take 3 clips from the best part and you're gonna put them on your Instagram. You're gonna run $100 ads against them.
And Shiv, reach out with your site. I'd be happy to give you advice as well. Just reach out.
I 100% will. Thank you so much, Zubin. I truly appreciate it.
Shiv, where do you live?
Montreal, Canada.
I love it. One of my favorite cities in the world. I just gave a keynote yesterday to
C2. C2, I know. I saw it, man. I couldn't believe you were here. I was like, how? I missed this. I know a couple of guys over at C2. I would have tried to wrangle my way around it.
Well, it was all virtual, but I can't wait to come physical. But nonetheless, there's so much to be done in that environment. Anyway, thank you, Shiv.
Thank you both, guys. Appreciate it, truly.
See you.
Man, this sucks. I completely missed my fire. The show's almost over in 3 minutes. I just want to say one thing, Dustin, get ready. Winetext.com. Can people leave me a comment about this? I'm really curious because Zubin and I are doing more and more thinking and strategy around SMS. How many people right now in the comments can you lead leave a comment? Are you signed up for Winetext? In the comments, yes, no, or about to. Because if you buy wine, I want you to see how this process works. Just curious where everyone sits. Yes, you're signed up. No, you're not signed up because either you signed up and you unsubscribed or you don't know about it or you can't because you're in Texas or Chicago or outside the US or about to. You're doing it right now because you actually love me and you want to do nice for my dad. Because now don't sign up if you don't drink wine because that doesn't do me anything because it actually costs money to send text.
It is the most frictionless shopping experience you'll probably have.
Not yet. Nice. Thank you, Marina. Bunch of no's, no Texas. Makes sense. About to. Thank you, Jamie. See some nice yeses. All right. Zubin, you want to sneak one in by yourself? I'm going to say goodbye now. Thank you for the show. Dustin, get me those clips ASAP. I may do split screens. I might just lay to play. Dustin, on the second one, let him talk a bunch up front. And then I just come in with the punchline instead of like how we do it normally.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
Cool.
And Dustin, I'll go ahead and stay and just get everyone through. It's all good.
Cool.
Go ahead, Zubin. I'm just reading the comments real quick.
It's all good. Go ahead. Let's get the next person in. Drew.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
All right. So I have an eco-friendly, all-natural skincare company. In the past, we started with soaps and lip balms and stuff that could be marketed to pretty much everyone. So our market has been very broad so far. Literally everyone. So, we've recently launched beard oil. So my question is, what are your thoughts on targeting specific groups of people that your product isn't directly made for? In my case, I'm thinking of targeting gamers and streamers with the beard oil because that's just booming right now. What are your general thoughts on that?
So I love this question. I'll tell you why I love this question. I think this applies to so many different organizations right now, specifically around the pandemic. So let me give you an example. This is obviously an issue, not an issue, it's a topic that all sorts of brands deal with. Hey, this is our core audience. This is who we target. Now I want to go after this audience. Should we do it? So on and so forth.
Right.
What the pandemic did is it actually got a lot of businesses to shift significantly and target brands that they would have never, or individuals that they would have never even sold to before.
Absolutely.
Like they were in performance gear and now they're making masks or they're doing this and doing that, right?
Right.
Now, here's the interesting part. A lot of these brands got a lot of revenue doing that.
Right.
But what ended up happening is they alienated their own market or that revenue was so much more than their core revenue that then what happens is anybody that they're looking at, if you're looking to sell your business, you're looking to raise funds, whatever, they're going to apply some sort of a COVID discount to you because they're going to say, look, you would have never even had these people. And once the pandemic's gone, are they still going to be your customer?
Right.
So I think the thing that's really important with your question is to understand at a macro level, where are you heading? And will those individuals, is this a sustainable play, right?
In
your case, I think it's a sustainable play. You're jumping and catching on to something somewhat early and able to, that market's only gonna grow, right? It's not like they're only gaming right now because of the pandemic,
right?
Or it's like they're only gonna do it a period of time. So I think it's a fantastic idea. Now, the other thing I'll say is I think something that's super under leveraged is personalized creative. And personalized creative in terms of marketing as well as like on site. So if you have the ability to, I would create landing pages, environments, experiences specific to the gamers and streamers.
I got you.
So that they like land on your site or they learn from an influencer or through advertising, whatever, they get to your site and there's a landing page dedicated to them. So they feel like your product is for them.
That makes sense. How do you feel about, I've seen companies like gum companies that are like gum for gamers. It always, to me, it seems gimmicky when people say this is just for gamers when they haven't changed the ingredients or anything. What are your thoughts on companies doing stuff like that?
Let me tell you what Gary would say, which I would say as well, but he would tell you to be authentic.
Right.
And look, people resonate with authenticity and genuine content. So what I would say to that is get a few gamers, get a few people that actually know that market to promote your brand. So that it's not like like me, who I started playing FIFA, by the way. So I'm not a gamer, but I love FIFA. Anyway, it's not like me promoting your product where they're like, who the fuck is this guy? His beard doesn't look good and he's not a gamer. You want something that's actually like legit where you're reaching out to those influencers. And there's so many people right now that are gaming on Twitch all over the place. And so get that core audience, just be real. Basically, just be real and authentic. The gum brand, I'm sure it'll do well if it's real, but people see through bullshit and endorsements as well.
Yeah, that's how it was for me. I mean, the first time I saw it, I was like, come on.
yeah, exactly. Are you a gamer yourself?
I am, and that's kind of why I was drawn to it.
Perfect. Then yeah, absolutely do it.
Okay. All right, well, I appreciate
awesome,
it.
Awesome, man.
Appreciate your
good
time.
To see you.
Great talking to you. Thanks.
Absolutely, likewise. See you. Alrighty, who do we got next? We got Rhett Allman.
How's it been? Super stoked to be here.
Great to have you.
Yeah, I'm super excited here. So what I wanted to ask was, I've kind of got this influencer omni-channel I'm launching that's focused on like social media management, e-commerce, talent management, and things like that. And right now, you know, the services I'm providing are digital services. I'm sure you've seen, like, Reese's came out with a digital meets physical campaign. So did Hulu, because, you know, they kind of were looking like they did the Hulu drive-in. And even recently, Burger King just launched something with the creepy clown that was physical meets digital. So I was wondering, what kind of physical experiences could I use to activate a digital campaign or a digital service company?
Yeah, I love this question as well. So were you listening when Gary was talking about the white glove treatment for high-end audio products and things of that nature?
Yeah.
So I think let's expand on that, because again, as I was mentioning earlier as well, there's this whole notion, if you will, last few years that retail is stale, retail needs to be more digital, all this stuff, right? Integrated. And it's not to say it isn't true, but I think what we often forget is that digital could become more real. And the connectivity between the two isn't necessarily, it doesn't have to be predominantly on the physical side. It's how do we leverage the physical within the digital world? And I think a couple of ways to answer your question. In terms of like the ways you mentioned what Hulu did, perhaps what Reese's did, the challenge with those sorts of things are they're one-off. And they're very, very specific opportunities to engage with the consumer in the real world that don't apply to most brands. But what does apply to most brands that are in retail is they've got retail staff and they've got a website. But what they don't have is the ability to leverage their retail staff to help upsell on the site. So you'll see that they have like chat boxes that pop up and all this stuff, but it's not real. Like imagine you go to a site and you start to shop and you're adding things to cart or you're viewing them, and all of a sudden something pops up and goes, hey, you can have a free consult with someone in the store right now, right? And you can actually chat with them right there. They can talk to you. Like, let's assume it's a makeup line or it's something that a stylist or an advisor would help. I mean, even when you think about high-end audio products, again, the consultative sale is what's missing online, right? And the ability to be able to speak to somebody, connect with them, I think that's a mass opportunity. And frankly, the reality is most of those implementations right now are one-off. So if you're talking about like, hey, what do I do for my business and how do I build a business around that? I think there's a business right there.
Love it. So inside of a similar vein, a lot of my current digital efforts are very top funnel. How would, like, for an influencer marketing agency where, you know, it's a client service-based business, how would I then drive them down further to a conversion point using either the digital or the physical model you just mentioned?
Mention the first part again. I didn't hear the first part.
So right now I'm doing a lot of stuff with online marketing, and it's very top funnel. And it's because of that, it's kind of making it tough to drive people down to like a point where they're actually ready to.
What are you selling
first? It's a client service-based business. So it's influencer marketing.
Got it. Okay. So a couple of things about client-based services, because obviously we're in client services and have done this a long time in terms of like generating marketing qualified leads, sales qualified leads, all that stuff. Increase the barrier of entry. I know it sounds counterintuitive. We talk about sales online. We talk about lowering the barrier of entry. I firmly believe that in B2B sales, you should increase the barrier of entry. What do I mean by that? Don't make a bullshit form like, hey, let's work together. And what's your name and company? And tell us about yourself. Like there's zero barrier of entry. You're going to get a shitload of people that aren't actually serious. What I would do is increase that barrier of entry. Understand what sorts of questions, when you're selling to somebody, what questions do they ask? Qualify them before they even fill out the form.
I love that. That's amazing.
Awesome. Chop that up for me. Awesome, man. It was great chatting with you.
That was great.
Awesome. Keep in touch, man.
We'll do.
See you. All right. We've got Carl Wyatt. What is going on,
Sir? How you doing?
Nice beard. Fantastic. Oh, thank
you. Yeah, I trimmed it up just for you guys.
I appreciate that.
All right. So my question, I was hoping that Gary V would be able to kind of
swing
at this right here.
I'm going to connect you with Gary after, because I selected this question for Gary, by the way.
Oh, awesome. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and ask your question? I'll chime in. But honestly, I want to connect you with Gary for this.
Yeah. So the question is how does someone get in on the game, you know, like, especially with COVID, a pandemic that's going on? There's a lot of foster kids out right now. I'm very passionate about it. I'm an ex-foster kid myself. I grew up in the system from the age of 3, aged out. So I know the struggle. And I was hoping he could give some advice, not exactly like a roadmap, but just like words of confidence or advice of how to get in. And when you grow up in the foster care system, a lot of kids get that hustle mentality. So how they could capitalize on that into starting their own business online or retail store.
Totally. Look, I think that one of the biggest challenges people have is not growing up in an environment that gives them confidence. Now, whether that's in foster care, at home, in a different environment, etc. And I think the problem that a lot of us have in the world is that lack of confidence. And that lack of confidence, when it's not instilled in you at a young age, is challenging. And it requires a lot more self-motivation and really understanding that everybody is capable of anything they really put their mind to within reason. And the fact that I think what's interesting with the world now versus, say, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, is the stigma around a lot of jobs and careers that people have is disappearing. The world is changing. And I think people are less so than before judged on what they do and more so on their character and integrity.
Yeah.
And I think that it's important to be able to provide those that you mentioned in foster care with that opportunity and with the ability to speak with people, connect with people like yourself that have been there, that are successful now, that are confident, as well as other people that can just give them a different way of thinking and realize that whatever they want to do, and I know it's kind of cliche to say lean into your passion, but we live in a world right now, specifically in the US, where literally whatever you're passionate about, you can make a shitload of money doing.
Yep. And I agree.
And I think, again, this is I really wanted Gary to take this on because I know that he'd provide a lot of more words of inspiration and wisdom than I can on this subject. And I'll definitely connect you with him.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sounds good. I was hoping to get on. I did get him this right here. I don't know how much tea he could fit on there, but got him a little Jets coffee cup when I was card shopping the other day.
I love that.
No, but yeah, that was the whole reason. My wife and I, we recently moved out to Utah, and I'm in the step back moment, what Gary V talks about. So I got a couple businesses. I started out here. I started a professional window cleaning business for commercial residential. I also started a new YouTube channel for fostering. It's called Fostering Skills, to teach kids just any little hands-on skills, whether it's home improvement or just words of advice and giving them information about the resources out there available to them.
Absolutely. And I think, Carl, what's great about the community, and you can see in some of the chats, like people are recommending different things. Hillary DI mentions use the Gary Vee search engine.
Yeah.
It's awesome and helps me every day. I think those things are great. Look, we're all one big community. We need to help each other and we need to support one another. And if we don't do that, then what's the point of anything else we do?
Yeah. Yeah. We got to lift each other up and yeah.
We have to lift
each other up. I totally agree.
Absolutely. We'll DM you.
Sounds good. I appreciate the time.
Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
That's everybody.
Thank you so much, everybody, for tuning in. Really enjoyed this episode. I hope you like these sorts of episodes. We'll be interviewing. We've got a ton of guests lined up for the next few weeks. But please let us know how much you like these episodes. And if you like them, we'll make them more frequent, more regular. Hope you enjoyed this session. Our objective with all this is to make sure that you're getting value out of it. So please let us know what topics you like, what you'd like us to lean in more on, what you'd like us to talk less about. Just want to make sure you're getting value end to end. Appreciate your time. Have a wonderful weekend and see you soon.
All right, episode's over. Please leave a review and subscribe up on Apple. It would mean a lot to me. Thank you very much.
Hey, podcast. Joe from Team Gary here. Today's highlighted review is Unbelievable Information by Bruce Kendrick. There's so much information in this podcast, Gary. Thanks for all of your wisdom. It's really helped me to build my business over the years. Thanks to Bruce Kendrick. Keep those reviews coming. We could highlight yours next.